I pray that we'll have a wonderful time together as we look into the area of judging others, this evening. We'll read from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 5. Matthew 7, 1 to 5. And then we'll turn to the book of James, chapter 4. Let's read Matthew 7, 1 to 5 first. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Go to James chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Children of God, these two passages must not be seen on the surface, as it is a practice of many of us. One of the most misunderstood sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is actually found in this passage, Matthew 7. The first verse says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. On the other hand, there is hardly any verse that is more disobeyed among Christians, that is, than this verse. Many times we see somebody for the first time and we just want to say clearly our stand concerning that person. He has not talked, he has not even greeted us, but instantly we say, this one is good and this one is evil. The thing about it is that whatever we have in our heart and we say it with our mouth, even before saying it, we have judged. A judgmental heart is sinful. And we know that all sins actually come from the heart. Many of us will agree that the spirit of, that is, judgmental spirit, is usually a thing of self-pride. It comes from self-pride. James, in chapter 4, was dealing with pride and dispute. Actually, it was dealing with pride as opposed to humility. humility. And then he entered into the aspect of judging our brother. Anyone who has a judgmental tendency cannot settle disputes, whether in the church or among his own people. Oh, I know that, you know, my daughter can never do that. You have not even listened to what actually is happening. To resolve conflicts, we must stop judging others and submit to God's authoritative word. I'll give you an example. Years ago, we had a couple in this church. Things were not actually going well with them, right from the beginning of the marriage, even before they came to the altar. And it came to a point when, of course, the pastor was tired of going to their house, leaving their house around 1 a.m., and so on and so forth. So the pastor decided that the diaconate must hear about this. And guess what? We had to call them in one by one. And I said to them, my fellow members of the diaconate, please, I beg you, after hearing one of them, don't judge yet. Don't judge. Hear the other, and then let the Spirit of the Lord move in you. I'm not so sure whether it was actually the time of Deacon Taiwo that this happened. And lo and behold, we called the wife in. I didn't know that as the wife was talking, some people were actually thinking of beating up the man. Ah, it was so serious. Deacon, were you there? No. It was so serious. And I said, please, remember what I said, oh. Don't apportion blames now. Just listen. After the wedding finished, and the man came in, and he started. Ah! Then they reversed the whole thing. I said, ah! That woman! Hey! We need to cane her. Ah! Wait a minute now. The thing about it is that, Shay, you are just listening for the first time. By the grace of God, I've entered into it several times. And I can tell you this, if you want to apportion blame, both of them should actually share in it. The thing about it is this, you know, in the Yoruba culture, we have that, Abi, that is, an elderly person that hears the story of one side and uses that to condemn is a wicked elderly person. That's the literal translation. Children of God, judging has two sides of the coin. There is good judgment or good judging, and there is bad judging. The good side must not be ignored, because Jesus Christ was not talking about this particular aspect in chapter 7. And it is reflected even in the same chapter 7 in some other verses. So please, when you hear something, judge not. And then you want to just embrace it like that and say, you see, the Bible says you should not judge. Therefore, who are you to judge? Let's actually be very careful. We are not judgmental if we are discerning with regard to the character and teaching of another person. We are not judgmental. And you'll see this in the scriptures. In verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7, for instance, Matthew 7, verse 6, Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Huh? Nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. How do you know dogs and swines if you don't judge? How? When it comes to heresy, let your ears be opened. For the Bible actually teaches against such that we should not even welcome them. It is important for us to know that Jesus Christ wants us to have discernment. In fact, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discerning spirit or discernment. When you hear something that is not right according to the scriptures, A, be alert. Or else, a lot of things will happen. And you will see that the church of God will actually not stand as it should. Now, in verse 15 of the same chapter, verse 15 of chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. How do you know if you are not in real tune with what the Bible says? You have to compare what is in the scriptures to what actually they may be saying. Their tongue may be sweet. And again, it says that they have come in what? Sheep's clothing. They have come like, hey, I'm a minister, a pastor myself, and so on and so forth. But you actually would design that what they are seeking for is beyond that. They want to tear down the sheep. How do you know that? By judging. It is important for us to know that we live in an age where compromise is the order of the day. Tolerance has become part of our, you know, watchword. In fact, we think that we want to be nice, want to be gentle. And we know that indeed, by doing this, a lot of people will be led astray. That is why it is important for any pastor wanting to call, for instance, a revival pastor, to know the person very well. Because many things have happened in many churches whereby a revival pastor or preacher divided the church by leading them into diabolic powers and whatever, or seeking diabolical powers. We must know what is heresy or what is unbiblical to what is biblical. And therefore, we must not in any way be so loving to condone it. We must not be loving to actually say that, let him finish. I know one particular story about Rick Warren. In fact, when we went to his church, we were told this, that he did not allow a preacher to finish the message in his church one day. What happened? After preaching the first service, they used to have three services. And after preaching the first service, they just took him down to the pastor's lounge and said, sorry, sir, we would like to just appreciate you for coming today. And please accept this token of our love for you, to you. And we want to say bye-bye. He had been told that he would be preaching first, second, third services. And he had just finished one. Said, we'll not allow you to go continue. Children of God, we need to watch out. We need to be careful who we listen to, even on the television. We need to be very careful. It is proper. Now, is it proper to actually name some individuals who are false teachers? Is it? I believe so. If you know that somebody is preaching wrong messages, you need to call the attention of the person to it. I'll tell you a story, a true story. A preacher, a gospel, Pentecostal preacher in America, was soliciting for money on the pulpit while he was preaching. He said he was raising money for a project of the church. And listen, he said, the Lord told me overnight that if I will not raise $500,000 within, I think about 14 days, God will kill me. Will you believe that? Is that actually, does that tally with the character of God? Raise $500,000 in 14 days or else I will kill you. Guess what? At about 14 days, a non-Christian got camera people, television people, and brought them to his office and said, I want this to be seen by all Americans that can actually ever see it. I don't believe in his Jesus, but I want him to live. Therefore, I'm writing a check of $500,000, regardless of what he might have made in a few days that he had been preaching this. But with this $500, God will spare his life. How do you see that? Is that a ridicule to the name of Jesus? And then we say, it's a very good fundraiser. God told me I would die. He will kill me. Not that I will die. He will kill me. We need to be very careful. I have some other things actually that the second thing that I need to say is that you are not judgmental if you speak to someone about sin or false teaching. Now, if someone is indulged in sin and you go to the person to actually warn him, you have not judged. You have only helped that brother. If a child, for instance, is running into danger, what do? You try to save the child away from danger. If someone is straying away from the truth, you need to warn the person. And, of course, even in James chapter 5, we have it written. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of what? Of sins. Now, Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, it's not in any way a judgmental spirit when you actually see someone straying away. And the Lord, of course, the Spirit of the Lord should lead you to that person to say that, hey, be warned. This is not right. Actually, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul dealt with such a thing. But he made a distinction between, someone in the fold and those outside. Now, from verse 12, 1 Corinthians 5:12. For what have I to do with judging those
who, those also who are outside. Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself the evil person. Who is the evil person? The one that actually is sleeping with his father's wife and was even boasting about it. When sin is condoned in the church, it brings disrepute to the church. And therefore, Paul says, hey, do what is right. In fact, he said that they should throw him out of the church. Huh? Throw him out of the church. Let the devil actually have something to do with him. And at the time that he repented, when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you see that he said that they should bring him back. Because he's sober, he knows what sin is, and therefore bring him back. So the church of God has the right to discipline. And when they're disciplining you, don't say that, why are you judging me? It is not judgment. Now, what are the wrong ways of judging people? You judge wrongly when you criticize a person out of jealousy or out of bitterness, selfish ambition, and so on, to pull the person down and not to build him up in Christ. The motive of your statement is highly important to God. James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. When you want to judge, judge without jealousy, judge without hypocrisy, judge without, you know, a spirit of maligning the name or the character of a person. It is important for us to know that the deliberate way of damaging the reputation of somebody is not in any way the interest of Christ. Secondly, when you judge, you judge wrongly when you assume that you know all of the pertinent facts and motives behind the person's action and words. You know all the facts. You know all the motives. And here we see that no one of us can read the mind of any other person. Many of us are guilty of this, if not all of us. You just see something and then you say that, oh, I know what actually that person means. How can you know? Yes, you've had experience with him. Yes, you know his background. But sometimes background of a person or the experience of that person may taint his action in such a manner that would not be right in the eyes of those who may see him. And therefore, we need to be very careful. Another one is this: judging people by human standard. Judging people by human standard and not God's standard. I'll give an example. You are a vegetarian. I am a meat eater. Then you say to me, because you eat meat, you are weak. Or I say to you, because you eat vegetables alone, you are still in stone age. This kind of judgment is uncalled for, and Paul dealt with it in Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, Paul dealt with it at length, making us to know that if even you fast a lot, don't look down on those who do not fast as if they are worse sinners. Your fasting may actually amount to nothing if care is not taken, because it may amount to boasting. And therefore, it is important for us. In fact, it went to an extent in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that Paul said, hey, the dispute that we have in the church of Corinth, I need to address it. Some of you say that it is not a good thing for a Christian to eat meat sacrificed to idols, because when they kill the meat, the cow or whatever they kill, they have prayed in the prayer of a non-Christian prayer, and therefore it has been offered to idols. Whoever eats such, you know, is a weak Christian. No. The thing about it is, don't condemn others who do so. Do you know that many of the cows that we buy in the market today are killed by non-Christians? They pray their prayer, whatever they say, before they kill the thing. But whatever you buy and you sanctify by the power that the Lord has given to you, that very thing has been sanctified. It's just like Peter, who had a trance and says that, and the Lord says, "What you are seeing in the trance now, flowing on the sheet that is before you, take and eat." And he said, "I've not eaten anything unclean before." And the Lord said, "Who said it's unclean? What I have cleansed can never be unclean." See, it is important. And we know that this particular aspect of judging is very much common with the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day, which Jesus condemned. And again, we will judge wrongly when we do not consider our own sin before highlighting another person's sin. You know that Jesus Christ our Lord talked about this a lot. He said that you see a speck in your brother's eye, but you do not see the plank in your own eye. And you are telling your brother, "Let me remove the speck in your eye," when actually you should deal with the plank that you have in your own eye. What is he saying? He's actually saying that, hey, know how you correct one another. Know how you correct one another. Examine yourself also. Examine yourself. So that by the grace of God, you too will be heading for heaven. And not in any way be mindful of someone who even has something less serious than yours. And here we know that we tend to rationalize this and say that nobody knows about my own. I know about your own. Then again, we judge wrongly when we share confidential and personal information with a wrong intention. When we share confidential and personal information with wrong intention. And what actually is usually the way we put it? We wrap it well. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you this. I'm telling you this because I just want you to be praying about it. But in the actual fact, we are gossiping. You know, the information that actually we are carrying may be to ruin somebody's character. We may actually try to oppose the person because we are fighting for the same office. You know what I'm saying? You don't know something about that person, this, and so on and so forth. Somebody came to me, for instance, and I still have this so fresh in my mind. Somebody came to me when they were trying to choose the assistant general secretary ministerial at the time. And lo and behold, this person came all the way from the north in order to come and see me because I was still in the EC of the convention. And what did he want me to know? He wanted for me to know that this person had a child before he got married, even before he got to the seminary. And I said, wait a minute. He had a child. Outside wedlock, Abby. Seminary knew about it. This person has actually risen to the principal, or is not principal, president of one of our seminaries. But because you are interested in the position of the assistant general secretary ministerial, and this person has been nominated too, you want to destroy him so that he will get out of the way. I said, come on, give me a break. Told him straight, I would not do it. In fact, it is sin to you to want to use past mistake that has been forgiven to now use it against him in order for you to enter into that position. You see, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. What is that position anyway? In fact, the tenor of the person has gone. He has actually forgotten that he was once the assistant by general secretary ministerial. And you want to kill yourself for it and destroy somebody for it. Then again, we judge wrongly when we try to play a self-righteous spirit to criticize or malign another person over minor matters. Anything we say derogatorily concerning somebody, know that God will hold us accountable for it. The most dangerous one, which actually is common with almost everybody, and I say is common with everybody, is to judge people and say authoritatively that that person is going to hell. Judging people when you authoritatively announce that somebody's eternal destiny is at stake is actually hell. You see someone and say, that brother, is a hypocrite. He's going to hell. This is going to hell. Who are you to determine who goes to hell and who goes to heaven? I read sometimes the words of Jesus Christ, and I say to myself, my Lord, we have missed the mark. He saw the Pharisees and said, you know what? Even prostitutes will be in heaven before these people. Why? Because they condemn others to the point that you actually think that you are not made by God. In fact, he told the church, it will be a surprise on that day when you are seeing prostitutes being accepted in heaven. Why? Because they have given their lives to Jesus Christ at a time when it was really, really important. You see the thief on the cross? He was hanging on the cross because of the sin that he committed. In fact, he said it. We are justly punished. But on the cross, when he was dying, he met with the Lord and accepted the Lord. And the Lord pronounced it, today you will be with me in paradise. The worst of sinners may change. The worst of sinners may change. Paul changed. When he was Saul, he was the killer of Christians. But he changed. And what the Lord used him for was great. I will not say greater than the apostles. No. God is the judge. But he changed. Do not in any way usurp God's position. He is the lawgiver and he is the judge. What you don't know, God knows.
Now, why do we actually involve in judging?
One of them is actually insecurity. You're very much insecure. We are unhappy. And we want others to be unhappy too. Something has happened to us. And we believe that, no, it shouldn't be us alone. Some others must join so that we'll be on the same level. When we do this, it is a bad spirit. Sometimes also we judge because we are scared. We see somebody better than us, especially in the church. Ladies sitting together sometimes, when they see a more beautiful lady, they say, you see, this prostitute has come. He has come to join us. How do you know she's a prostitute? Because she's beautiful? And some men too, when you see someone wearing a suit that is shining, that actually is about maybe $10,000 suit, this person must be in shady business. Who told you? Now, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. We need not run people down. And you know something? Sometimes we gossip because we are alone. Or we are lonely. We are lonely. What do people do when they are lonely? They take the phone. GSM. Call somebody. I'm telling them stories of what happened and what never happened. Oh, do you know that that guy, you describe the person in a shabby way that you are until the person gets it. Oh, yes, I know. He has done it again. Done what? I know that's gossip, but the truth of the matter is this, judging others hurt other people. Judging others put negativity into the world. Judges others may encourage you also to judge yourself. If that actually is going to happen, when you judge others, I pray that it will make you to judge yourself too. How can we stop this spirit of judging people? How? Because truly, in the cases of judging people, especially in the church, it's not because of known sin. It's because of insecurity that we have, and so on and so forth. In order to stop this, the first thing to do is fear God. Please fear God. Let the fear of God be in you. Before you say something about anybody, please let the fear of God be in you. Why? The Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. If the fear of God is in you, you put yourself in that position. You'll be able to actually say within yourself, is this actually going to build him or destroy him? Secondly, love others enough to pray for them. Love others enough to pray for them. When you see a weakness, pray for that person. Instead of judging and maligning characters and so on, pray for that person. Whatever the person is lacking, pray that God Almighty will meet it and strengthen him. And thirdly, look more for the good characters in others instead of the bad ones. Good characters instead of the bad ones. I think we were in the meeting and then one interview and somebody said, nobody is completely devil, Abby. Nobody is completely devil and nobody is completely angel. I said, I'm learning something new this time. We all have our good sides, we have our weak sides, and where we are coming from may actually judge where we are going. I mean, bring about as to where we are and where we are going. Pray and look for the good characters, not fixing yourself in the bad ones. Then again, remind yourself of the fact that that person you want to talk about is a child of God. That person is a child of God. God has not finished with him or her yet. If you remember that, I think actually you know that we are all, work in progress. We are not perfect yet. We were moving on and praying that we'll reach perfection. And one day, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. And then you need to remember also that you have plenty of faults too. You have plenty of faults too. And God wants you to worry about your plank instead of the beam. Instead of the speck in another person's eye. The beam, your eye, is by far bigger than the speck in another person's eye. And finally, familiarize yourself with the Bible injunctions, such as we have in Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 5, Luke 6, 39, James 4, 11 to 12, and so on and so forth. I pray that this little Bible study will help us to live a godly life, that God will be satisfied with us and know that indeed, with whatever measure you measure to others, you will have in return. Not to keep quiet when you can save a soul and also dismiss multitude of sins. When that will happen, you will rejoice over it, and the person that you have corrected also will rejoice over it. But the wrong aspect of judging, God condemns.